Paul Meacham, Jr.
Cheetah is one of the fastest animals in the entire world. Some of them have been measured as running up to 7. Now, this great speed makes it possible for the cheetah to catch his food. But even his great speed is not enough by itself. In addition to the speed, he has a great ability to focus on the task until it's completed. The cheetah begins the chase by choosing one animal out of a herd, and he doesn't stop until he catches that animal. If something should prevent him from catching that animal, he will likely go hungry. You see, his focus is so intent that he will run right past other animals he could easily catch in order to get the one animal he singled out at the beginning. Now, we may not think his methods wise, but the same concentration that works against him also ensures that he will rarely fall short of his goal. We likewise must maintain our focus on the prize of heaven. If we don't, we will probably fall short. How can we avoid this trap and keep our eyes on that prize of great price? That's our topic today. We welcome you to today's broadcast, and we are thrilled that you have chosen to join us for this study of God's Word. It is certainly encouraging to us to know that you are there and that you have an interest in spiritual matters. Many in this world today seem to think that there is nothing more important than the thing that is directly before us. Just getting through the day seems to be the effort that man makes, with no eye toward the future and toward that eternal home that can be ours with God in heaven above if we are obedient to Him. The title of our new study is Not Far from the Kingdom. Now, this is a phrase that comes to us from Mark chapter 12 and verse 34. Here we read that when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, the he in this verse is one of the lawyers of the Pharisees who had come to try to trick him into giving a poor answer. But when Jesus answered, this man noticed the wisdom of Jesus' answer and was honest enough to identify it as being correct and wise. When Jesus saw that the man did have an honest heart, he said, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Now, we might think this is a very encouraging statement, that our master would decide that a person was not far from the kingdom of God. But I don't want us to take too much comfort in the fact that someone was close to the kingdom. Rather, I want us to be concerned about those who fall short, but only fall short by a little bit. Now, there are people in this world who certainly are seemingly far away from the kingdom of God, the church of our Lord, the church of Christ. They live their life in such a way that shows no respect at all for God's word or for God's church. But there are those who many would classify as being very close. They're good people. They're good neighbors. They're good family people. Husbands who are good to their wives and children. Mothers who raise their children up and love their husbands. But still, they're close, but not yet in the kingdom of God. This study is going to concentrate on 5 or 6 different characters of the Bible. These are characters that can help us to see what it is to come close to a goal, but to fall short. We do this study by way of warning, so that none of us will become satisfied with being close, but rather we will all require ourselves to be all the way there. We begin our study in Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy 34, and let's read the first 5 verses. Please read along with me. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead, as far as Dan, all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, and as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there." So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. Now, I would like to begin our study and continue it from week to week by asking a series of 5 questions. We'll ask the exact same questions every week. We ask the same questions in order that we might be easily able to compare these five different accounts, these five or six different characters, and see how they fell short of a goal, and make sure that we don't make that same mistake. The first question we ask is, in the passage that we just read, who fell short of the goal? In this case, the answer is Moses. Moses was a great man, there's no doubt of that, but he did fall short of his goal. Of what did he fall short? Our second question. In this case, we find that Moses fell short of the promised land of Canaan. It had been promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, by extension through Jacob to his 12 sons, to the 12 tribes. Moses was of the tribe of Levi. This was part of his inheritance, part of his promised reward, but he did not enter into that land. In Genesis chapter 13, beginning in verse 14, we read that the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever." We see that the promise was made through Abraham. It was applied to Moses, but it was conditional, and Moses failed to meet the conditions necessary, and as punishment, God did not allow him to enter this land of Canaan. If we asked ourselves whether or not this is fair, it might be easy for us to come to the conclusion that Moses was not treated fairly. But I want us to be reminded that this judgment was made by God, that God knows all and knows many things that we cannot know, that He is a true and righteous judge, as the Bible proclaims Him. This judgment was fair, even though we may not come to that conclusion ourselves. We then ask the third question, how near did he come to his goal? Well, in this case, he came so close that he could see it. God brought him up on Mount Nebo and showed him the land. It was right there in front of him. After all of the years of wandering in the wilderness with the children of Israel, it was right there in front of him. He came so close that he could see it, but he did not possess it. The fourth question then is, what was his sin? What is it that Moses did wrong that kept him out of the land of Canaan? If we go back to Numbers chapter 20, we find the account of what happened. Here God is giving instruction in verse 8 to Moses and Aaron, and he says, "Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring forth water for them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and to their animals." Now God provided for His people. From the moment that He brought them up by His own hand out of the land of Egypt, He was providing for their needs. Yet constantly His people were dissatisfied with the provision that He made for them. It sounds a little bit like us today, doesn't it? God has been very good to us. God has blessed us with many things, yet oftentimes we still are not satisfied with what God has done for us. Here we find that they murmur again about not having water. So God instructs them to go and to speak to the rock, and water will come out. Now, I have seen pictures of this, and I'm sure that you have too. Not pictures of the actual event, but drawings that artists think represent what happened here. You may have seen Moses and Aaron standing above a rock or even a large boulder, and this stream babbling out from that rock. We need to keep in mind, though, that there were millions of Israelites to provide water for, and they had all of their flocks and herds that also required water. The water that was coming that would provide for their need was not some small, gentle stream or some babbling brook. It would require a river of water to provide for the needs of these people. But even that is not above God's capability. God always provides for our need as it exists. Now we find then in Numbers 20, verses 10 and 12, how this was fulfilled. We find that Moses is tired of the bickering and the murmuring of the people, and he says, "Hear now, ye rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly. And the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. Now here is where God is going to announce their punishment. He told them to speak to the rock. They struck it. He told them He would provide for the people. Rather, they said, must we provide? God said, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. It was because of this one action, this failure on Moses' and Aaron's part to hallow God, to glorify God in the eyes of the people, that they were not able to enter Canaan. They probably did not mean to slight God, but they failed to take this opportunity to glorify Him in the eyes of Israel. And because of that, they were not allowed to enter the promised land of Canaan. The last question we ask, question number 5, is, what was their end? What happened to Moses? We know Moses is under discussion, that he fell short of the land of Canaan, that he fell short because of his sin, that he came so close that he could see it. But his end was that he died outside of Canaan in the land of Moab. If we are going to actually enter the promised land of heaven, and oftentimes the Bible draws the parallel between Israel traveling toward Canaan and us today traveling toward heaven above. If we're going to enter that promised land of reward, we must be righteous, and we must be righteous in God's eyes. Matthew 5 and verse 20 says, for I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. We must be righteous in God's eyes. We must also be rich in God's eyes. That doesn't mean we have to have a lot of money. But Mark 10 and verse 24 says that the disciples were astonished at His words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? We need to be rich as God sees riches, and that is rich in obedience and service toward Him. And we must be ready, ready in the eyes of God to enter that heavenly land. In Matthew 22 and verse 2, we are told that the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who made a marriage feast for his son. We find out that those that he prepared it for were not ready to come. So in Matthew 22 and verse 8 he says, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden are not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. If we're rich in the eyes of God, if we're righteous in the eyes of God and ready in the eyes of God to enter heaven, then we will not fall short. We need to take great warning from Moses' failure and make sure that we don't make the same mistake. We often sing a song, the first verse of which says, O land of rest, for thee I sigh. When will the moment come when I shall lay my armor by and dwell in peace at home? Let's strive to be completely obedient to God and follow Him all the way so that we don't fall short and we can then dwell in peace at home with God.